should we care about fashion? Is it an important issue? Is it an issue at all? Well, I mean, depending on how you define the word issue, I mean, that can mean a lot of different things. Whether it's important, I think on the surface level, is it important to like our survival, to our ability to like live our lives, etc.? No, not in a very direct way. However, it really can be quite influential in, you know, our lives in ways that we may not necessarily be aware of. But I think this is especially true for when you kind of dig beneath the surface and you look at how fashion plays a role in things like people's abilities to, say, get a job, how people present differently through fashion in different cultures, and cultural representation through fashion. And obviously there's a lot of conversation around that, and there's a lot more awareness around that nowadays. And we see this definitely at play when it comes to, you know, cultural representation, sometimes discrimination, etc. So is it important? Is fashion important? Yes, no, and yes. It's kind of a mix of both. And I find that really, that's why I find it interesting. And I think the way that I started to kind of question this is by asking what role does fashion play in our lives? What determines whether it's like something we should care about or not, whether it's for, you know, entertainment purposes, if it's just a fun hobby, or if it really is something that impacts your life? Well, there's, you know, like anything that is a human construct, there are lots of ideas around what role something like fashion plays in our lives. And in today's society, this, you know, across different cultures, different parts of the world, this takes many, many forms. I think personally, fashion is a great creative outlet, and it's a way that you can express yourself, and you can communicate something about yourself. And that's why I do value fashion personally. But, you know, for some people, it can be really a stressful kind of thing. A lot of people feel intimidated by the world of fashion, and I think that's definitely by design, at least when it comes to the world of mainstream fashion. A lot of people have been made to feel alienated from the world of fashion because of the mainstream culture and what, you know, the mainstream fashion world has kind of done to society in particularly the last 50, 60 years. And so I want to start by kind of digging into this at first, and we're looking at specifically the fashion industry. So the fashion industry, and we're talking about specifically like traditional mainstream fashion, we all know it has not been the best influence in our lives. It's always been kind of a weird entity for me. Like I grew up in a household where, you know, I didn't really feel pressured to, like maintain certain appearances, which I'm very thankful for. You know, I always kind of, like as a kid growing up and as a teenager, I feel like I was definitely one of those kids that just kind of marched to the beat of their own drum. I came up with my own sort of looks and was always trying on different outfits, crazy outfits, and like alt fashion. I was always kind of more into the alternative side of the fashion world. And I, from a young age, really just didn't like the mainstream culture of fashion growing up. And this would have been like, think between 2006 to 2012 when I was in middle school through high school. So lots of you got the Aeropostale, Hollister, the really preppy brands, you know, the long skin tight tank tops with lace underneath, and the skinny jeans and UGG boots, etc. Like I, from the very beginning, I hated all of it. Never really wore those types of clothes. But, you know, so already then and there, because I chose to wear different kinds of clothes and kind of wear alt stuff and like alternative quote unquote style fashion, where I was a little bit more goth, a little bit more kind of, I don't even know if you would have put a label on it. I just really created a lot of my own kind of quirky looks, and this didn't always get me positive attention in school growing up, as is so common. And I gravitated towards other kids who I kind of saw themselves, like that I saw express themselves differently through fashion. And so, yeah, that was really, I think when you're in school, honestly, when you're growing up and you say you're in middle school, high school, fashion and what you choose to wear is one of the first ways that you learn to express yourself. And it communicates a lot about you at that age. When you don't have a lot of other things, like you haven't really developed all the other parts of your personality yet, you kind of attach yourself to external, like, influences and appearances and interests, etc. Like, you take things from the outside world and build yourself and use them and piece things together to build a sort of image of yourself when you're 12, 13, 14, 15, etc. And so, from a very young age, you know, you're very aware of how big of a role fashion can play in how you think about yourself and how you relate to other people and what social group you belong to. And in some cases, this can be kind of stressful. And again, I think what really was the hard part of it for me was from, you know, the very beginning, the seeing the culture that was tied to certain types of fashion, particularly the mainstream kind of preppy era postal fashion, there is a very specific culture tied to that. And I always felt pretty like alienated from that. And well, that was by design. I think about some of these big, well-known iconic fashion industries or companies, especially ones that had like their peak during the 2000s. Think of Hollister, Aeropostale, and the now gone Abercrombie and Fitch. Abercrombie and Fitch has a very contentious story. There's actually a documentary about it on Netflix as well, which I definitely recommend watching if you're curious about this. But, you know, these popular mainstream hype brands, you know, Victoria's Secret, Pink, these companies all have a very specific image issue in which they are tied to a specific culture that they curate that is very exclusive. It's, you know, associated with wealth. It's associated with whiteness. It's associated with thinness. It's a very kind of elitist, exclusive, alienating culture. And it was the type of fashion that says this fashion is only for a certain kind of people. This is to serve a certain kind of person, and everybody who doesn't fit into this box, well, you are lesser than. That's, they would never say it outright in their branding, but that's the effect that they have. Those types of companies have had, and this can really be problematic. I mean, we talk about the social impact of these high fat. I'm going to talk a little more broadly and just expand it to mainstream fashion that is built on really the concept of selling exclusivity. So think about Gucci, Prada, Chanel's more of a perfume line, but you know, I know they've had some clothing items. You know, your designer brands, elite brands, they thrive on the idea of selling exclusivity. And the idea behind this, if you're somebody who understands marketing, it's powerful because labeling something as exclusive makes it more desirable. Exclusivity increases desirability, therefore the price point. And this is how we, over time, have curated high fashion culture to be what it is today, where there are certain designer brands and looks that is really has a lot of kind of significance tied around it. And carrying these items of clothing or wearing these items of clothing is really making a big statement, has come to be seen that way. So that's why you see, you know, a jacket that looks like it could have come from Target, but you slap, well, I'm not going to say if you slap a certain kind of label on it, because that's really what knockoffs do, but designers who make clothing that basically don't really, in my opinion, look that special, like, you know, what's that called, Ralph Lauren or whatever. Okay, see, I don't even, I pay so little attention to these brands anymore that I don't even remember their names very well, but, you know, take, for example, Gucci, or Prada, a handbag from Prada. You can have a product that looks pretty much the same and similar quality that has a Prada name and one that doesn't have the Prada name. The Prada name in itself is what gives that item so much value. So it's about saying, I am part of an elite club. That's really what that communicates. Like, if you're somebody who wears a lot of designer, people who go all designer, everything, it really communicates a very specific thing about you. And, you know, among certain circles, that really can get you a lot of accolades and can make people see you a certain way. And this will click well for the certain type of people and not click well for certain other kinds of people. So this is a really kind of divisive nature of fashion. Of course, it's also, there's other issues around how mainstream fashion works today besides the social impact. I mean, we can think of when it comes to just health, with the fashion industry has been one of probably the biggest contributors to body image issues and things like bulimia nervosa, anorexia nervosa, and, you know, really harmful ideas about body image, particularly for women. I myself have definitely fallen into that trap in the past, still sometimes today, but definitely I am a lot more in control of it now. But I just, you know, when you see certain kinds of advertisements for, like, say, it was always Victoria's Secret, Hollister, etc., and all the models look a certain kind of way and you don't look like that, it really does, again, go to say, like, this is the ideal of what, you know, you should look like, and you don't belong here. And so that's a really, that's a big way that in which fashion has made a lot of people feel really bad. And so for this reason, I think a lot of people get turned off of the idea of, like, fashion as being something that's even worth our time, worth our energy. It's, or can be seen very negatively, as it has come to have this really negative stigma. Of course, fast fashion as well is terrible for the planet, with, you know, it's just environmental impact. It's very wasteful. It creates a lot of waste in production. It creates a lot of waste in, like, leftover garments, because the culture of fast fashion is built around creating constant demand, which means that designers that cater to the fast fashion, which is most of the mainstream fashion industry today, their kind of business models are all built around creating constant change. And there's just every year, every 6 months, every, you know, very short timeline, every season, there's a new look, and it creates this sense of desire to constantly have all the latest looks and the latest, you know, keeping up with the latest fashion trends, which, especially now in the day of digital media, the cycle of turnover for this is just getting faster and faster and faster. And what it does is that, like, say you change out your entire closet to fit the trend for a season, 2 seasons from now, that's all going to be not relevant anymore. So if you all of a sudden start wearing those clothes, then all those clothes either get donated or get tossed. And I was actually shocked to find out how little clothing actually gets resold when donated. So a lot of those fashion items that we discard or give away to, you know, kind of your bigger, more well-known charities. This isn't to say that all charities do this or to not trust charities entirely. This is more of just a message of that's meant to say, like, do your research before you donate your clothes and see what that charity's practices are, or if it's like an upcycling store. It just basically do your research and see like how much of their items actually get resold or reused or sold away, because a lot of clothing items that get donated actually get tossed, usually because sometimes just the quality of the clothing isn't reusable. And again, that's the nature of fast fashion. It's made very cheaply. Doesn't last very long. Not being durable, it doesn't keep its shape, it gets damaged. And so a lot of items, when they get donated as secondhand, they're already subpar condition. And some like resellers won't even take them. And a lot of those clothes just end up in landfills. And that's yeah, there's a lot of issues with how wasteful the fast fashion industry is, just for the sheer amount of like the volume of product that they put out is way too much. And we don't need that many clothes. That's how I say we really don't need as many clothes as we consume, but that's the culture that the fashion industry has come to like embrace and promote, and it's really hard to get around it. There are ways, but it takes a lot of work. And if you're somebody who maybe doesn't have a lot of money to spend on more high quality, durable clothing that is also stylish, and those higher, you know, those brands that are higher price point that are generally more durable, better, more well made, and can last you longer, there is also that barrier of exclusivity a lot of times because of the price point. So it's not easy. And again, there's also the issue of like exploitation. I lost my place in my notes again because I had another side idea and then I got lost, but this happens a lot when I'm by myself. So hopefully I'll think of whatever that other idea was. Again, it'll probably pop up in my mind at some point randomly. But anyways, for now, I'll just kind of continue on. The third thing that I think makes fashion problematic in today's modern society and the way that like we see it as far as mainstream fashion goes is exploitation. And it is inherently a very exploitative industry, especially when we're talking about fast fashion. I'm sure we have all heard the stories about this with, you know, a lot of these fast fashion brands using questionable labor practices in developing countries. And yeah, there's a lot of issues around the modern fashion industry. And I think this is a big reason why a lot of people may get turned off of fashion and kind of either not care about it or have negative feelings, a lot of negative stigmas related around fashion. And this is all completely valid. I think there's very good reasons for people to feel this way and maybe want to kind of just say, you know what, screw it, I don't even want to participate in any of this. Like, I don't care about being designer. I don't care about keeping looks. It's too expensive. It's wasteful. It promotes a negative ideology about, you know, our culture and its exclusivity and et cetera. And that's all fine. I completely understand that. And I've gone through a phase where I felt the same way. I was just kind of fed up with mainstream fashion. I wanted nothing to do with it. And for a while I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to wear whatever I want to wear, whatever's comfortable. And I'm just going to go about my day and nobody can say anything to me. And this, you know, when I was probably 18, 19. And then, so yeah, for a while I really just stopped even trying at all. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to wear jeans and a t-shirt or like sweatpants. I don't care. None of it matters. It's not important. I'm just going to wear jeans and a t-shirt everywhere. And so what would happen then is like, and a lot of times this was fine, especially at a younger age and here in the United States where we are used to having a pretty casual look in general in the United States as compared to some other parts of the world that are more fashion conscious, particularly Europe, especially countries like Italy, France, which are those two particularly are very like they're one of the leading designers of the fashion world and one of the most fashion conscious cultures on the world in the world, probably. I would say up there with like South Korea. I know there's others, but yeah, Italy in particular is a very fashion conscious culture. So, whereas my ultra casual look of like, I don't really care. almost this rebellious, it was almost like a rebellious look. It was like either I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt cause I don't care, or I'm just going to make up my own outfits. And I always had my own kind of alt style. So, you know, I would also kind of rebel that way in creating my own alt style. And here in the US, that was fine. It was, you know, it doesn't, for the most part, it didn't really matter. And also, I think especially because I was, again, pretty young, like 18, 19, I wasn't going into situations where my appearance was in like very consequential yet, right? That probably would have been a different story if I were a little bit older and trying to go into the workforce, et cetera, because that, you know, fashion does definitely become a factor when it comes to employment and appearance in general, for better or for worse. But, you know, at that age, I was like 18, just out of high school. I didn't have anything to lose. But when I go to Italy, and I've talked about this on the show before, my episodes about Italy, you know, It really did matter. Like, I really stuck out because people have a different attitude about fashion. It is seen as something that is more important in how people go about their day. It's an important part of life. And for a while, this really annoyed me because I had the attitude, this, you know, the very American attitude of, you know, it's my choice. It's, I'm the independent one making a decision about how I want to go about my day. It shouldn't matter. It's trivial. Fashion is just, you know, it's all about, it's superficial. Looks shouldn't matter, etc. And there's a lot of validity to that. I think that's true. However, I think there was a point where it, for me, I did take it a little too far because, well, the reality is that whether we agree with it or not, the way we present ourselves does communicate something about us. It tells a story about us, the way we show up in the world. And fashion is a big part of that. And especially in a culture that is fashion conscious, then there's even more importance placed on, you know, how you look and how specifically what kind of clothing you choose to wear and how you present yourself, etc. It's seen as a really important part of how you present yourself to the world. It communicates something about you. So in Italy, when I was with my dad and spending the summers there, and what I was choosing to wear didn't really, like, it was communicating something different than what I intended, it was noticeable. I really stuck out, and I can't tell you how many arguments I had with my dad about this. It's actually funny because now I think back, like, you know, usually for girls and for people who identify as women or girls growing up, a lot of times our influences and the people who we learn about fashion from at the early stages are usually like our moms, other like women in our lives. In my case, it was my dad. My dad was always very like fashion conscious, and even though like he himself wasn't like wearing suits certain time, like, you know, he was never like a very selective person when it comes to fashion, but he was just always very observant of it. And if I was wearing something that, like, say my colors clashed or something, he would be the first one to pick it out. I'm like, are you going to wear those pants with that shirt? Like, you know, just something that I think is a little different than how, like, my girlfriends grew up with. Their dads were never the ones to say anything. It was just always funny to me. And my dad and I would fight about it all the time. But now I'm like, thinking back to it, now the way that I choose to dress and like some of the things that I learned about how to dress for like certain different occasions and what you wear during the day versus the evening, I did pick up a lot of that from my dad and from Italian culture in general. And now I use it. Now I like it. And my attitude around it has actually shifted quite a bit. Because at some point I learned to think that, you know, yes, there's a lot of like just random, there's a lot of BS around the fashion world. And technically, no, the way you look shouldn't be that important. It shouldn't necessarily matter. However, it is also a form of expression. And while it can be frustrating and sometimes maybe even unfair to be obligated to look a certain way that doesn't feel representative of who you are and how you want to present yourself. Like, say, if you have to dress a certain way for your job that doesn't resonate with you, or you've ever been discriminated against for wearing certain fashion or like styles that are associated with your culture, and like this is becomes an issue in the area of like cultural appropriation and whitewashing, particularly here in the United States. Well, actually, no, I take that back. It's not just an issue in the United States. It's definitely an issue in the Western world. I think everywhere. There's a lot of issues, and with like some other external entity telling us how we should look, right? There's a lot of issues around that. But there is a way to kind of navigate it a little differently. Hi, Paige. I am in here I'm in the studio here recording with. I've got some company and people going in and out. So if you hear anybody walking around in the background, so we got a little bit of company today. But what was I saying? Oh yeah. So anyways, there is a way to kind of redefine and walk a different path when it comes to fashion. And, I think our culture has started to shift in favor of becoming a little bit more open. People have definitely been challenging these problematic norms, and, you know, the more we keep it up, the better, I think. So it's, you know, there is possibility for change. There's always possibility for change. Anything, in any man-made, human-made construct, like, you know, like fashion or like anything else that we make up about ourselves and how we're supposed to do certain things and what it means about us, that's all very constructed, and it all can change. And so there actually has been quite a bit more pushback against some of these problematic norms around fashion, and I'm happy to see that. I think about like the body positivity movement that really started to spark up, I think, from early like 20 teens, and has become much more vocal in recent years. People becoming a lot more conscientious about cultural appropriation and cultural representation. And the more, you know, the more people speak up about these issues and the more we talk about it and acknowledge them, the more we have the power to redefine what fashion, you know, what role does it play in our lives? And is it a negative, does it have negative impacts, or is it a positive, potentially at least, positive creative outlet? And that's how I've learned to choose to see it. And I've learned to actually have quite a lot of fun with fashion. And I've learned to use it as a way to express myself and communicate things about who I am. And this is the part where, this is what I find really cool about fashion, especially in modern times, because today we also have more variety than ever in fashion. than any other time in like human history. And like the what you wear nowadays has so much more significance and so many different types of significance than it ever has in the past. And that's actually really cool. Because nowadays with fashion can be a way that you communicate something about your culture. You can use fashion to tell a story about yourself, about your personality, about what your interests are. And it's really the possibilities are limitless, and it's always changing. And it can actually be very liberating. And one of my favorite ways, my favorite parts of fashion is thinking about how we use fashion to communicate our interests. And you see this especially, like, if you think about, like, music. Again, bringing up an example from when I was growing up and in high school and middle school, you could tell what kind of interests people had based on what kind of band t-shirts that they wore. Or, you know, there was the punk look and the grunge look. Well, this probably would have been a little bit later than grunge, but, you know, around the mid to early 2000s, a lot of punks, and then you got into the pop punk scene, the Scene Kids. If anybody here remembers Scene Kids or know what Scene Kids are, that was a fascinating trend. I think between like, it was very short lived. I mean, it was probably between what, 2008 to 2012 that they were, it was really a thing. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you're either probably very too young to remember or older. You know, it's a very specific, like, millennial thing that happened between, I want to say, 2008 to 2012. So if you have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, go look it up. It's S-C-E-N-E Kids. Scene Kids. And it's, I just think it's hilarious. Like, I thought it was absolutely a ridiculous look at the time. But, you know, it was a way that people, especially young kids, expressed themselves and formed community. And I think that can actually be a really positive thing in and of itself. One of my favorite forms of fashion today also is, if you look at music festival fashion, there's so many, this is, I love it because it's really kind of its own entity that exists outside of mainstream fashion. Especially when it comes to like the electronic music community and rave outfits, rave fashion. Of course, I'm very much immersed in this myself. It's a big part of my life, but I have always loved rave fashion because it's always been very expressive and countercultural and individualized, and it's always been about kind of going against the grain of the norm, and I've always been drawn to that, you know, from a very young age as a kid, but even today. And it's actually, I feel like, been a space where people have used fashion to freely express themselves, and it's something that people have fun with, and it communicates a lot about, like, even within, like, the niche of electronic music, there are specific styles that you can wear that communicates, like, what genre are you into? What kind of scene are you into? Do you wear a lot of merch jerseys with artist logos and pashminas? You're probably a bass head and you listen to a lot of bass music. If you wear a lot of, like, trap pants and bucket hats and you don't ever go anywhere without your cushy sneakers or designer, not designer, but like, you know, high fashion sneakers and that kind of like fiery retro, like 90s pop look, you're probably into the house music scene. You got the cyber goths. I don't know if they're as much of a thing now as they were like in the early 2000s, but they, if you look up the cyber goth fashion, that was something that was very associated with like hard dance music, and you can still see that today. Like, it, all these different looks that exist within this one niche of that is the electronic music genre all have like so many, there's so much variety and character within that within those varieties of fashion, of styles. And I think it's fascinating. So I love that we can use fashion that way. We can use it to communicate something about our interests, about who we are, about our personality, and like to build community and find other like-minded people. Like, I know that if I am wearing a, I'm wearing like a band shirt, and I saw somebody else in the library wearing that band shirt, I'd be like, oh, hey, like, you probably, we like one of, you know, we like the same things. I'm going to go talk to them. Or if I find somebody that wears, like, is just dressed similarly to me, that has a good sense of fashion that I'm, like, drawn to, that's always a talking point for me. I actually use fashion and people's clothing as a, like, topic to talk about and, like, go with some, and introduce myself to somebody and, like, hopefully maybe make friends, etc. So it can be a really fun, creative space. And I think I think that's also like important to keep in mind when we're thinking about, you know, how we dress. You know, does fashion matter? Is it important? It can be beneficial in these ways, but there's something deeper to this that I've noticed as far as when I think about like how I dress myself. And maybe this is true for it, maybe this isn't true for everybody, but I definitely noticed this is true for myself. It also, like, how what I wear on a certain day can really alter how I feel. And it has to do with how I choose to present myself that day. So, say if I am, I don't know, just going about my daily life and I have to go shopping, I have to go to work, or et cetera, and I'm just kind of, like, not feeling it. And I'm just like, ugh, I, like, don't care, I'm tired. I might be tempted to just throw on a pair of sweats and a hoodie and call it good and just kind of, you know, like, I don't care. Well, that's tempting and, like, maybe more comfortable. It's, you know, it's more comfortable maybe, but I noticed and I just kind of feel like, okay, I feel sluggish. I'm going to dress myself in a way that feels sluggish. And then that, to me, just kind of makes me feel more sluggish throughout the day. Whereas if I put in just like a little bit of effort and I put on like, you know, a nice jean, a nice shirt, a dress, just something that makes me look like, okay, I'm tired, I'm not really into it, but I'm going to put this ounce of, like, I'm making a decision about how I'm going to show up today. And through like a physical representation by choosing to, by thinking about like what I'm going to wear. And that actually makes me feel better. So I really think it can go both ways when we think about how we wear, like, how we think about what we wear. It can make us feel worse about ourselves if we buy into a certain kind of messaging. But if we make it about us, right, if you just focus on wearing things that make you feel good and that say something about you that you're choosing rather than it being told to you from outside influences, it can be very empowering. So just some fun food for thought there. And I also have kind of a, maybe just a little bit of a funny story about when I moved to Spokane, that has to do with this. And again, I think that a lot of this is tied to the fact that I grew up in a fashion conscious culture and I have kind of my own ideas around fashion and what fashion is. What role does fashion play in our lives and what it communicates about you as a person. Growing up somewhere where that was something that was at the forefront of most of like my peers' minds, etc., and where everybody like put a lot of effort into fashion, like in Italy, or even like living in certain parts of the East Coast and, you know, the bigger cities. Moving to Spokane was almost like a little bit, not shocking, but it was a little bit shocking. Because there really, I feel like there kind of is a lack of fashion here. But it also reminds me a lot of when I was growing up in Colorado Springs and there were parts of the city, like the parts of Colorado where we were maybe a little more isolated, where there really wasn't a lot of fashion. Like if you're in a small town or you're just somewhere more rural. And I noticed that it seems to kind of be a bit of a fashionless place, and it made me kind of like feel sad, just because, and I don't think this is necessarily true. This is just like how my, because this is how I learned to think of it. It was like in my mind, when I would see people, you know, not pay attention or like not dress up. I don't like using that word because it's not about like being fancy, but like, the lack of like effort or attention, in my view, looked like, to me that was communicating like, wow, okay, I don't care. And seeing people show up in this way communicated something about the culture and the place, where it, to me, it read as like, okay, are, you know, people, there's just kind of like, uninterested attitude, or maybe, you know, maybe people here are just not happy or something. Again, maybe that sounds silly to somebody who's not like, who's from here and you've never even thought about this before, but this is just my, that from where I was coming from, my impression. But yeah, that just goes to show how differently we all learn to think about fashion, and how, whether we're aware of it or not, how much it really communicates about who we are as people and what we like. Paige Turner is here, and
I am.
I'm going to turn your mic on for a second if I can, if I may. What mic are you on? Mic number two. I'm just about to close out the show, but Paige is in here, looks like getting ready for her show, and she's been patiently listening, like just sitting here as I'm rambling on. I can see you're interested. You know, I just wanted to see if you want to jump in and say anything about this.
My undergraduate degree is in fashion merchandising.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, from Eastern. They don't even have the degree anymore, but it's fashion merchandising. It's my undergraduate degree.
Wow. Well, that's, that. Go figure. I wish I would have known that earlier. I wish you were coming in and I would have had you as a guest.
It's a combination business, home ec degree. Actually, it was very interesting, but it was fun. And yeah.
So what did you learn about? Like, what did you learn in your time as a fashion student? Like, if you know, you've been listening to my ramblings here for a little bit, but is that, you know, something that
actually
resonates
I
with
think
you?
It's when you the I think that when we got into like about that 90s or what is it, when people started just kind of saying self-expression and mm-hmm. you know, my clothes, my tattoo, they're not represent, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, if I want to go out in my worst dirty jeans and my day sweatshirt, they just have to accept me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
but actually, you go back a few years, I want to say, I'm just reading a book right now that took place in the 1940s, and they're super fashion conscious then.
Yes.
They wouldn't go out without their hats or without gloves.
You had to, it was very prescriptive style of fashion. Yeah. Where it was very kind of, I feel like in those earlier times, it was much more about appearing uniform, and you know, there were very prescriptive ways about how you were supposed to present yourself in the world, and you know, particularly for women, but across the board, I would say. But there was a lot less variety than mm-hmm. say like the variety of fashion you see today. So I think it's like it's never not been important.
No, it has been. Yeah.
It's, I mean, you go back thousands of years.
Yeah.
And what people wear has always communicated something about their who they are, what class are they associated
the
to.
Color,
always,
you know, because if you wore red or you were purple, you were with the royalty.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's, in certain, of course, in the indigenous cultures, you could tell what tribe mm-hmm. people were from by what the design of their clothing and stuff. Yeah.
Right. It's always been a part of identification. That's part of how you self-identify as an individual, as a tribe, as a culture. And that's still very much true today. But that's what I find empowering about modern culture, the modern fashion, I guess, excluding the, you know, the mainstream fashion and the more problematic aspects of it. The positive side of it is that it, because there is so much more variety and it is so much more individualized, it can be very empowering and liberating.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how we now have the ability to, or more of an ability to choose how we use fashion. And we can use it as a way to feel empowered and be creative and, you know, really be original, et cetera, versus using it to try to fit ourselves into a box. Not that that's gone, but it's at least a little bit less restrictive and changing in that way. So thank you for jumping in on the last segment, and you had something you wanted to share. I wish I would have known you were going to be here, and you had a background in the fashion world, and would have been a cool conversation, but it was nice hearing your input. So thanks for hopping on, Paige.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too. Yeah. I know. I never see anybody in the studio anymore. Yeah. This is, you know, ever since we've been in this new studio, I feel like I actually do see people a little bit more, but it's always like, it's, you know, always in passing.
And yeah.
So, yeah, it's good seeing you, and I will get out of your way since I know we're about to be on a new show.
Going on the air in a few minutes. Here.
Yes. Yeah. So, thank you for joining me, Paige, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have any questions or comments, thoughts you want to share, feel free to email sodidyouhear@kyrs.org with your thoughts. I love hearing feedback and your input, so definitely appreciate that. But as always, thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.
There's a spot that I love that's deep in the wood. I remember it from my childhood. Just follow the trail past the fallen oak tree. That's where you'll find Camp Wiganashie.
Hi, I'm Nora, and I like dragonflies because I love to talk about important things going on in the world with other people my age. Tune in to Dragonflies on Thin Air every Sunday at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock on KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
I'm going to pitch my tent in the wet cement and paddle my canoe down the river Igloo. But they say something's fishy at Camp Wiganashie. I don't believe it's true. Can't wait to get to Camp Wiganashie.
This is KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM Thin Air Community Radio.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots, global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour. Tune in Monday through Friday right here on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio, 8 to 9 every weekday morning, and repeated at 5 p.m., also streaming online at kyrs.org.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for July 6th through the 9th. Thursday, be at Magnolia American Brasserie, Sweat, the United Effing States, and Krusty Mustard at the Big Dipper, and Cortege, Twin Void, and Children of Atom at Lucky You Lounge. Friday, the Victorious Voice Music Collective with Crystal Marie Aragon, Lindsay Lee, and others at Lucky You Lounge, George Juarez at the Pineheart Cafe, DJ Matt Schumann at Brick West, and Greg Koch at Lucky You Lounge. Saturday, Jason Perry, John Duckworth, Jimmy Nuge, Kingston Prescott, Paul Flores, and others at the Checkerboard, Badger, Reed, and Craig Placid at Mirabu Point Park, Vika and the Velvets, B Radicals, Gabriella Rose, and Azariah at J Bones Music Land, and Proto Martyr, The Smokes, and Blake Braley at Lucky You Lounge. Sunday, the Tekkas at Beck's Harvest House, the Jackson Rolkin Trio at Craft and Gather, and the Nightmares, Aaron Parks, and Ben Vogel at Bottle Bay Brewing. For an entire hour of Spokane area musicians, tune in to For the Love of the Music every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Stop before you pop. Opioid addiction is an epidemic.
Opioid addiction is an extreme issue in the state of Washington, and opioids are a gateway to other drugs.
About 25% of all prescription opioids are misused and can lead to more serious drugs and addictions.
You are not alone. Around 15 million people struggle from opioid misuse each year, and if you struggle from this, please reach out.
For additional help, please call SAMHSA National Helpline, 1-800-662-4357.
Are these drugs worth possibly losing your life?
Stop before you pop.
Are you a new listener to KYRS? Like what you hear? We are non-commercial, listener-supported community radio. Please become a member today online at kyrs.org or give us a call, 509-747-3012. Thank you.
Hi, this is Andy Lee Ross from Project Censored, the news that didn't make the news. Tune in to Project Censored Show every Monday at 4 p.m. right here on KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
shots and passing trucks.
Director of Project Censored. You're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM and streaming at kyrs.org.